Hi, Julia.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. We met, I think it was early in 2019, you came up to the station and played a few songs acoustically.
Oh, yes.
That's me. You've probably talked to hundreds and hundreds of white guys who wear thick-rimmed glasses, but I was one of them.
No, I think I can picture you in my mind.
Great, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Where are you at the moment?
I'm just in my house in Melbourne.
And,
yeah.
I mean, how are things there? I just saw that the state of disaster has been extended another couple of days.
Yeah, I mean, where I am is very safe and, you know, in the city. But, yeah, it's a pretty awful time in Australia right now.
Because I know you hail from the Blue Mountains.
Yeah, I do. So my family have been defending the houses for the last 6 weeks. Basically, it's been pretty touch and go, like most days. Yeah, so my grandma, who's 85, has been at the canteen feeding the firefighters for the last 7 weeks every day. So, yeah, I'm feeling a lot of mixed feelings, you know, of feeling quite guilty about not being there. I think everyone is just feeling, you know, desperate to know what to do, what they can do to help. And yeah.
I mean, it's similar here, to be honest.
Yeah.
So I imagine you are glad to be back in Australia, because I follow you on social media and the impression that I got is that you spent most of the year touring.
Yeah, I spent like 9 months of last year on the road.
Wow.
So I wasn't really here. I got back 6 weeks ago. It's definitely good to be back and in one place. But I don't know, it's always mixed feelings, because when you're on the road for that long, you start to feel like that is your normal life.
Yeah.
And then you come back and you're just like, oh, so I just stay here, do I? I just go to bed at like 10:30? What do I do?
Because I know, like, your adjustment to the touring lifestyle was part of what informed your second record, Crushing. Have you found, you know, this big long stretch of it easier than you did the time prior to that?
Oh, so much easier.
Okay.
So much easier. And, you know, that comes from many different factors, but the biggest one is just, like, having really good people around me and being confident myself and being willing to, you know, being okay with, like, being open about the difficult days. And I think for the first couple of years, I just kept everything in because I thought I had to be, like, most grateful, cheery, happy times person. Otherwise, it was all going to be taken away or something. So
yeah. You mentioned this last time we spoke. And the other thing you mentioned was that you take a skipping rope on tour with you. Did you do that this time?
Oh, skipping. I feel like I rant about skipping to everyone. Like, skipping has also changed my touring life. Like, I think, as much as, yes, obviously, like, mental health changes and, like, great team around me, blah, blah, blah. Skipping probably makes up the other 50%.
Wow, that much.
Yeah, like, I just found I became incredibly disconnected from my own body on the first, you know, and even though the second album is about my body in terms of, like, relationships and proximity and all that, it was also, it was fed by, like, a complete disconnect from my own sense of self and my body, because I was just sitting in a car all day for 3 years and, like, you know, and then dragging that body on stage and in front of a whole bunch of people, and my head and my body were two different components that just were, like, not connected. So I feel like the rope, the jump rope, which is a, you know, daily exercise that I would do every time we, like, stopped to get petrol on tour, it just kind of changed a lot for me, yeah. So I'm just this preacher now to, like, other musicians. Well, I'm like, have you got a skipping rope?
Well, it worked on me because I bought a skipping rope after we did that interview. For
yes.
Real.
That's so cool. Do you like it?
It was partly because I was living in an apartment at the time in the city, and I guess I was self-conscious about going out running or whatever, so I could just do this in my apartment, and it was really hard initially, but it got easier.
Okay, good. Oh, wow, that's great news.
So you've been touring this album, Crushing, and it's a record which deals with a lot of things. Among them, you know, a breakup that you went through. It's a reasonably, you know, cathartic album. Have you heard a song by Blur called No Distance Left to Run?
No.
It's on an album called 13. It's about Damon Albarn's breakup with Justine Frischmann. I just wanted to read you a quote from him about that song. He says he's really affected by it still. He said, "Doing the vocal upset me greatly. To sing that lyric, I really had to accept that it was the end of something in my life. It's amazing when you do have the guts to do that with your work, because it don't half help you." I just wondered if you had had a similar experience with, you know, writing this material and then taking it on the road for so long. Did it help you?
Yes. Yep. It did. And I don't know. It was funny because for my first album cycle, like if the interviewer asked me like, "Oh, it must be so hard to get on stage, or it must be emotional or whatever to get on stage and sing these kind of songs every night." And I was just like, "You don't understand. Like, I'm just a songwriter. I write the songs. I feel them at the time. And then I'm just like going through the motions. Like, I'm still performing them and I like performing them, but like, I'm not reliving anything."
Sure, yeah.
And then I really had to like take that back with this record because especially even the end, like I toured for 9 months and then the last month touring was just like so amazing and so emotional because I think, yeah, you can kind of get this real interesting gauge of like how far you've come with those kind of songs, which I'm not sure how other people, what other like indicators people who are not songwriters have. Like I'm sure everybody has indicators, but it's very stark as a songwriter to get on stage and sing a song like, you know, Don't Know How to Keep Loving You and be able to, like, while you're performing it, kind of recalling the last 2 years of my life and just suddenly being like, whoa, like, wow, like I'm transformed from the person who wrote this song. And there's a lot of like sadness and beauty in that. This album and this tour has just kind of been transformative to me in terms of what I think music is about and what I think my purpose in music is. And yeah, it's been pretty great.
Wow. I interviewed a young Kiwi musician recently called Lon Talius, and he was saying the exact same thing, that his records, you know, they are his version of a diary. They're, you know, really personal and confessional. And that's exactly how he looks at it, the way that you are. Like, this is a period of my life that is now, you know, there forever for other people to look at as well as myself.
Yeah. I don't know, like, because I do tend to steer away from like the diary reference, just because I feel like that gets thrown at me a little bit in terms of like, the songs are definitely like from my experience, but they're also like, you know, especially with body, like people just want to know, like they just think that that is like to a T exactly what happened to me. And I am just a vessel for that story instead of like seeing it as like a crafted piece of work.
Sure. Yeah.
But then I think when I first started touring this album, I just was a bit flippant about the themes on it, because I was just like, well, they're just about me and who cares? I don't know. I just thought, well, I'm just ranting on it, like singing about myself, and it's a bit narcissistic and like, I don't know, whatever. I didn't think too much about how that would be received or what people would think. And then over the course of the 9 months, it's like having to really come to terms with the heaviness of what I'm actually saying to people and what that is like bringing up in their minds, and having to honour that as well. And that's really checked me. Like, I can't get on stage and just be like, yeah, here's a song about like revenge porn, and here's a song about like, you know, the devastating nature of like falling out of love with someone.
Sure.
Anyway, cool. Like, I have to understand that I'm like bringing things up for people that are really potentially painful.
And I think triggering.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just kind of made me, not take it seriously, but I have to remember that when I get on stage. And that's been kind of really challenging, but really great.
Yeah.
It keeps me present. Yeah.
Your own way, watch me turn my own head. looking straight up.